Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Happy Tuesday. Good morning. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We got some good news.
What's that?
This week, we will have Lions playoff tickets.
Oh, yes. I know. I love the fact that we get a chance to give away tickets that are not coming cheap to anyone. I don't know, Heather, I don't know if you guys have looked at possibly going Saturday night.
We did like a little while ago when they first released a limited amount of tickets. And even then we're like, nah, let's not. So now we're hoping we're going to win some somewhere. Anyone who has
a
contest.
Did you go to the bakery?
Oh my God. I'm glad I didn't. Did you see how many people were there? There was a 4-hour wait at one point and the bakery said, you know what? I'm sorry. We cannot accommodate everyone. No more people can get in line. But I plan on going. I'm going to check it out either today or tomorrow. And hopefully,
Yes.
Well, yesterday was the first day that you could,
And he was there yesterday.
I know.
Right? So maybe did people get wind that he was going to be there and everyone just flocked? I mean, good for
part
them.
Of it,
it's so
but
exciting.
I think there's such madness for tickets.
Yeah.
That I would expect, maybe not a 4-hour wait today, but it's still going to be a hefty.
I mean, they shut down a road, like one of the one of the side streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Maybe is that the one they're going to rename Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Probably. It's just a little one, so it's perfect.
Did you see what he said about
it's a short stretch?
Well, that's what he said about the cake.
What did he say?
I think I saw that he said that he didn't realize it was going to be that big. I'm not making this up. I'll find the quote, but
So he's Colin, giving himself some props.
Colin knows he can't win ours, right?
He does. He does. No, I mean, he thought about changing his name and address, but it's okay.
Yeah, you can use mom's address. Yeah,
you like your job?
I do.
All right, now if a friend of his could, just don't say you know Colin.
Oh no, yeah, don't. Yeah, if you call,
that
you don't
happened
know him
one
at
time
all.
In a former radio life with us. They said knew somebody that worked at the station. It's like, sorry.
Oh, no, they won. They're like, hey, I know Joe. I can't wait. Just give them to Joe. He'll give them to me.
The biggest balloon of air that went out ever.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. Yes. Just trying to be a friendly. Oh, yeah, I know.
I tell everybody in my life, don't ever say you know me if you happen to call in.
Yeah, I think most people are on board with that.
Thank you. That's why I referred to myself as a donkey the other day.
That's on a T.
That was well done. I have the quote. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was at the bakery with the cake of him, quote, it's bigger than I thought.
Yep. Well, hey, Heather thinks you're smaller than she thought.
I know.
This is a little guy.
To win the tickets on our show, we'll have at least a pair. I'm hoping we get more. At least a pair that we'll give away on Friday, courtesy of Bud Light. So be listening on Friday. And if we get more between now and then, we'll let you know.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
John, last night, not awesome. Sam Darnold pulling a reverse Matt Flynn for all to see.
Oh, my goodness. Ugh. I mean, the final two games. Like, just think about the sea change that has happened in the last 3 weeks where we saw, for the Vikings, him enter the locker room after a win, and the entire locker room is cheering him and his name. And we all know what his career has been up until this point. And then all of a sudden, there's this resurgence, and we are all asking the question, right? Is it Sam Darnold, and things finally clicked for him? Or because it was a win over the Packers. Where he's strolling in and they're all cheering. Or was it Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Hockenson, the running game, and he's just distributed. Did they Darnold-proof the offense, or was it actual progress by him? And was it Kevin O'Connell? Was it the offense? And I think most people, after the last 2 weeks, losing to the Lions – and then the Rams back-to-back, just like they did earlier in the year. He's taken a lot of the bullets.
Ryan Clark at halftime said in the two biggest games of the season, he wasn't protected and he folded under pressure. These are referendum games, right? You want to get paid on a long-term deal. These are referendum games. These are for the one seed, for your season. John, he was Jets Sam Darnold, seeing ghosts, right, panicking in the pocket, holding the ball too long. At his best this year, he was stepping up and rolling out and throwing darts. He was missing guys, like open guys late. Yeah, he is a mess right now. And if you're J.J. McCarthy, doors yeah, open for you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for getting us to 14 wins. Starting to be a little bit worried. Now, how much of... I can't believe this number. Nine sacks.
Six in the first half.
How much of them were just a protection breakdown? How much of it was he just could not pull the trigger and get rid of the ball? That's a big question.
Yeah, so the Rams front has been active the last month or so. Young guys are getting to the quarterback. But we said it. Sam Darnold was holding the ball too long against Detroit. Yeah. And it finally is getting exposed. It's Honolulu Flu Part 2, right? He lost to the Lions the first time, and they lost the very next game. This time their season ends because of it.
Yeah, and that's the pressure. That's the finality of playoff football. If you lose, if you have a bad day at the office, your season's done.
Right, which is why I understand anybody who has
some nervous energy.
Just understanding what's at stake. I'm not nervous about the Commanders.
No, just some nervous energy.
Yeah. I would point out we saw another 10-point victory in the NFL playoffs.
Oh, is that that's a double digit? I wonder if they're doing the double digit disco.
Well, they shouldn't because it would be foolish and silly. Nobody, now you have too much respect for the NFL digits? Playoffs for teams to win by double digits, signed 5 of 6 teams that did it in the opening round. Interesting.
You're playing good opponents, right?
Yeah, these are playoff teams.
Playoff teams.
Yet the Bills could win by double digits and the Ravens can win by double digits. But if you suggest that the Lions may win by double digits this week, you're a foolish sequined homer. Well,
Yeah, Jim, you're right.
Look, I do a podcast with them. We can address it later. But I just, the idea that, fine, you're not negative if you don't think they're winning by double digits. But that doesn't make someone a homer if you think they're going to win. They're 8.5-point favorites by 10 or more.
No, Jim, it doesn't. Anyway. No.
We don't need to air those grievances today. 248-539-9797. The game last night saw the Rams win, and they looked really good in that game, John.
They did. And when you talk about the, you know, Matthew Stafford, the numbers aren't going to jump off the page, but it's the management of the game. It's the defense. And it's already, you know, we talked about it from the Vikings perspective, 9 sacks. Let's talk about it from the Rams perspective. I mean, they were in attack mode in almost every phase. And then when you have, okay, Nacua, Kupp, you've got a full complement of receivers, and your leading receiver ends up being Higbee, you know, your tight end.
Yeah.
Kupp only had one catch. And if you win 27-9, you control the game. You would look at that and go, Cooper Kupp had to go off. Well, no, he didn't. Puka Nacua, well, he had to go off. No, he had 5 receptions for 44 yards. How did they win this game? Well, some of it was the turnovers. It was the fumble. It was the interception. And it was the defense. But this is a team that really looks like they are coming together at the right time and in some tough circumstances as well.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we could talk about it. We will a little later, just like what that means, tapping into it. We've seen it in sports before. But if you look at what the Rams have done to close the season here, right? And they lost to Seattle in a game that they intentionally, you know, sat guys.
Yeah.
But prior to that, they had won 5 in a row, including a win over the Bills in that stretch.
Mm-hmm. Home game.
Right. So, yeah, I think they're a real threat right now. And I think they started the game the way you have to against Minnesota, the way we talked about the Lions the week before. Start hot. You want to blitz a veteran quarterback? Well, Jared Goff will dot you up. Stafford, the same thing. I think it was 8 of 8 to start the game. He marched them down the field. They score a touchdown. You put the Vikings in a position where Darnold's got to sling it against pressure, and bad things are going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, I just thought the Rams jumped them early and the game was immediately out of hand.
And that's why I said yesterday, earlier in the show, when I asked TJ yesterday, if the Lions win the toss, you know, do you take it or do you put your defense out there first? And I loved his response. And yeah, you take it because you put pressure on them. When we've seen teams in the playoffs, and this is what the Bills did to the Lions when they played during the regular season. It's 14-0 before you knew it. Now all of a sudden it changes everything you're doing offensively. That's what you want to do to a rookie quarterback in Washington and Jaden Daniels. Like, you want to be able to apply that pressure early. Now, getting back to the Rams, yes, they had an offensive explosion against the Bills, and they played the Bills right before the Lions did, and they scored 44 points. The three games following at the Niners, they won, they only scored 12 points. At the Jets, they won, but they only scored 19 points. Against the Cardinals at home, they won, but they only scored 13 points.
Right.
Like, this is a team that can be challenged offensively, and because I don't think anybody is looking at the Cardinals and saying, wow, look at that defense. Like, no. They're just not.
No.
And so there's they're just kind of really hard to figure out is basically what I'm getting at.
The Rams, they're top of mind right now. And I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but having watched the first round of the playoffs, it feels like they may be the bigger threat. We're going to get to that at 6:35 this morning. Are the Rams going to be that story? Mm-hmm. John, we're going to get to the Pistons next. Mm-hmm. JB Bickerstaff talking about Kate Cunningham and a big win and bringing up the Ninja Turtles. We'll get to it next. 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you as they did me and build a financial plan that fits your situation. And when you walk in or you give them a call, shoot them an email and say, hey, my situation's changed. This is what I want to do now. Is it possible? They're going to do everything they can to give you the answers so that you can make the best decision, and then they will support you along the way. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
How about this basketball team, huh? Mark Champion on the call. Pistons win again. And it's a great performance. Cade Cunningham going toe-to-toe with Jalen Brunson at the Garden. Cade with two great performances at the Garden this season. Pistons two games above 500. John, we got to talk about him. And I say gotta. I don't feel bad about it. I'm excited to talk about this basketball team.
Yeah, the team that's won 7 of 8 and what, 10 of
12.
Like, yeah. They're just a good team. I'm not willing to sit there and say, oh, look, they're completely fixed and this is a team that's going to make a run in the playoffs. This is a good team. It's a team that every time they take the floor, you feel like they've got a shot to win the game. Cade is playing good, and this is with Ivy going down, a week and a half, 10 days ago?
As I say, not that long ago. And they've responded. Cade had 29 of his 36 in the second half. A slow start, foul trouble. But you know what I thought was interesting, too? Like, yeah, he shouldered the load. He helped carry them, put them back in the driver's seat. At the end of the game, the Knicks tried to take the ball away from him. And I think it says a lot about who he is that he didn't force it. Mm-hmm. They made the extra pass, Beasley 3, next trip down, same deal, 2 passes around, Beasley again from 3. Like, they've supported him, I think, is maybe the other part of this. He's finally healthy. He is getting better. He is maturing. I think he's learning how to use his size. He's a bigger guard. Yeah. But on the same front, they've actually done the thing that we all wanted, which is supporting him, giving him shooters around him and teammates who are veterans that can help get him to that next level.
Well, and here's the thing. When we talk about they could win at any point, they could lose at any point. Right? Sure. They're kind of that team right now where it's like their record says, right? They're right at near 500. But they're not just beating the teams with like records. They're not just beating the teams that they're supposed to beat. I think most people would sit there and say the Knicks are they have more talent or a better team than the Pistons. Yet they go on the road and they get a win against a team that's got 26 wins. 5 more than the Pistons have currently.
A fellow playoff team.
That's a fellow playoff team, yes. Now they're still in the play-in, but they're a heartbeat away from being in the top six.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit last week, what it means. Like, they're going to lose their first round pick. And I'm not shedding a tear. John's not shedding a tear. We've watched the lottery. We've seen them tank for Victor Wembanyama and pick fifth, set the record for the worst season in franchise history, get the fifth pick. Hey, this is more important than keeping pick 12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, get in the playoffs and hand somebody pick 14 and be done with it.
And they're a heartbeat away from being in that green cup. One of the stats that I like to look at is the average point differential. And right now, they are still in the red, minus 0.9. But where they have come from a team that was, you know, minus 8, minus 6, minus 5, to almost being in the positive, that I think it shows what I think both sides of the ball. Yes, Cade is understanding more about how to use his size and all the things that you talked about. They're moving the ball, they're creating the spacing. They're also starting to figure some things out defensively.
Yeah, and that's the thing Bickerstaff has been, I would say, insisting, right? We had him on, and even his opening press conference, it was something that he insisted that this team do better. He also said something after the game yesterday about the Ninja Turtles, kind of. Tom found this quote. It's a great quote. He says, there's not a green light enough that Cade does not have. Whatever shot Cade would like to shoot, from wherever he would like to shoot it, he has the freedom. The neon green. What goes further than that? Ninja Turtle green? Whatever you want it to be, he has that light.
Yeah. So he's, Cade, the show is yours, yep. Is basically what he's saying.
You're the keys to the franchise.
This is your team. You've got the power. Take us where you want us to go.
And he was a little more animated yesterday.
As he should be.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was, I wouldn't say he was animated in regards to when he was on with us, we're talking about the NBA Cup.
No, I'm saying, but Cade was a little more animated.
Oh, okay.
He finished in the lane, he's headbutting the stanchion. Like, he was feeling it a little bit.
But you can see that confidence reflected in things that JB says.
Yes, yes.
That, I guess that's my point, is you're starting to get a feeling coming out of this Pistons organization that players, the light bulb has gone on, whatever color you wanted to call it, the light bulb has gone on, and they're starting to have fun. There is no better position as an athlete when you can play with confidence and go out there and have fun. Now you become a dangerous team. Dangerous for anybody to play against. I don't care what your record, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, if Cleveland comes to town, look out, it's the Detroit Pistons. But you feel like, hey, instead of being a team with 14 wins and it being an absolute labor to show up to practice, to show up to rehab, to show up to the training room, to show up to games, now all of a sudden everything seems to be a little bit lighter and easier and more fun, and now all of a sudden things start to go your way.
Winning. Amazing what it does. Let's get Heather.
Cures all ails.
It does. Heather, what's going on?
Well, we mentioned it, but with two playoff tickets up for grabs at the Home Bakery in Rochester, fans braved the cold and they waited outside.
It was cold yesterday too.
It was cold for their chance to possibly win. The rules of this contest are super simple. You make your way down to the Home Bakery, you make any type of purchase, and you're automatically entered for your chance to win these playoff tickets courtesy of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Mm. And he was there yesterday as well. When he announced this contest, he said, you know what? I am going to make my way down to the bakery so I can check out this life-size cake of me. And he was there. And here's some little footage of him and the sound he said.
Oh, yeah, you want to talk about having much, fun.
Yeah. But people were so pumped. I mean, I was following the Home Bakery on Instagram. I mean, at one point, they did have to tell people, we cannot accommodate anymore. The wait was 4 hours, and they said we're not taking any more people because if you haven't been there, the bakery is little, right? There's nowhere to wait inside. So you had to, I mean, they blocked off a street. There were like partitions. You had to like weave yourself in and out of the waiting line. Pretty incredible. I do want to make my way over.
And fans were having a great time. Even though they were waiting for a long time, they were having a great time. And you could hear it there.
They came from all, there was one woman I saw a quote from, she drove from Lansing for her chance to perhaps win some tickets. I wonder how many people, like, what's going to be your odds of winning? How many people are going to make a purchase? So
right.
I'm just curious. I mean, good for them. This is so incredible for the bakery. It's so exciting.
Because it goes on both today, tomorrow, and Thursday, you still have a chance to go out and enter.
You do. So yeah,
it's going to be, yeah.
Get out there. Pretty cool. Well, after taking down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC wildcard round Sunday night, Washington Commanders fans had some confidence to them, and they stormed the concourse, and they were chanting, "We want Detroit." Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to get
you
it.
Really? Yeah, yeah. You are.
Careful what you wish for.
Exactly, exactly. A dispensary in Detroit was busted for allegedly selling marijuana to minors. Last week, there was a search warrant that was executed at this dispensary on 7 Mile Road because officers received a tip that, yes, they were providing marijuana to some young ones. So during the search, authorities confiscated more than 91,000 grams of marijuana, 453 grams of mushrooms, some cash, two guns. Two employees were detained and issued citations for operating a business without a license and also having marijuana on them as well. So can't be doing that. Can't be doing that. Unfortunately, dozens of law enforcement officials from multiple agencies spent hours on Monday searching for that missing Warren mom, Ashley Elkins. And they were searching. They spent actually 6 hours scouring the Pine Tree Acres landfill. Which you never want to hear in Lenox. Officials concentrated, they say, their search to about 6 to 7 acres of the landfill. According to Roseville Police Chief, the search is moving in the right direction, he said. And then he also said, we're confident that we'll find the evidence we're looking for.
So they obviously, they believe they know what happened. They're just now trying to connect the dots of
exactly.
how and...
So we're
put
not
together the evidence.
Yeah, and the search ended right around 4 yesterday. Is going to resume again today. Mm. Yeah. Carrie Underwood is scheduled to perform at Donald Trump's inauguration next week. She's going to be singing America the Beautiful with the Armed Forces Chorus and the United States Naval Academy Glee Club. And she did release a statement that said, quote, I love our country and I'm honored to have been asked to sing at the inauguration and to be a small part of this historic event. I'm humbled to answer the call at a time when we must all come together in the spirit of unity and looking to the future. So she's not the only one that's going to be performing as well. Lee Greenwood and an opera singer, Christopher Macchio. I don't know if that's how you say his name. And
a great opportunity for her.
For sure. And the Village People are also going to be performing not during the inauguration, but at the inaugural ball and the rally the day before, along with Kid Rock will also be performing.
All right. Doing some YMCA.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right.
It's Heather with the news. All right. Coming up next, Rams or Eagles? Who's the bigger concern? Are the Rams going to be that story? Starting to pick up steam. It's 97.1. Rams coach Sean McVay, of course, talking about the adversity from the team, but also what's going on in Los Angeles right now, trying to harness and channel some of that. I know Stafford spoke about it, too. We'll play that for you in just a second. John, don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but don't the Rams appear more dangerous than the Eagles do at this point?
They certainly do. For football reasons, they do. I think I'm more worried about their offense than I am the Eagles' defense. Which is like the strength to me of the Eagles. Not necessarily Saquon Barkley, sure, that can be concerning the year that he had, but when you watch the way that they played against Green Bay, I think there's ways to minimize their offense, and it really all starts with Jalen Hurts. But if you're going to get into a scoring battle and a shootout, the Rams are a team that can go, you know, pound for pound, blow for blow.
The Vikings like to blitz a lot, and they blitzed early, and Stafford had no issue with it. The Lions will have to blitz a lot, and Stafford's, even when he was here in Detroit, liked when you'd blitz, kind of heat him up. You go bring it on. He's got the arm to make those throws. You're right, and they're playing very well. If you take out the stretch where they lost Kupp and Nacua, like with those guys in the lineup, this offense is on a tear. This team is on a tear. And, yeah, you're more concerned about someone just taking this defense for Detroit and marching them up and down the field. I don't feel that way about the Eagles offense. The case for the Eagles is they're better in the trenches, right? Their D-line is phenomenal. Their defense is probably the best in the NFL, or at least in the NFC. So where are you guys at? These are the two teams that are going to be standing opposite Detroit if they beat the Commanders this week. Rams, Eagles, Which one concerns you more? 248-539-9797. That's just the football of it, John.
Right.
I mean, here's what Stafford said after the game about rallying around the community. So dangerous team with a rallying cry. We've seen this in sports.
Oh, we have. And the rallying cries that I've seen, that I know are, they certainly play a part of it. And it's hard to figure out how, why, because there is that human element of the other team. I've been a part of that other team. I played in the last game in Three Rivers, and we were in a playoff hunt at that time in 2000. And then all of a sudden, there just seems to be some extra juice, and whether it's karma, whether it's I don't know what it is, but it feels like you're playing against a 12th or even a 13th opponent, not just the crowd, but the sense of what's going on in the state. There was almost no chance that we had in that game. And then 2005, Wellington Mara, owner of the New York Giants,
yeah,
passed away. And he had been in the NFL for 50 years. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he had meant so much to the NFL and to that organization. He was a guy that endeared himself not just to the staff, but to the players in an appropriate manner. And, I mean, we start that game off and his granddaughter is singing the national anthem, right? And at that point, you're like, oh, crap. You know, and we ended up losing that game 36-0. Like, and it felt like even more than just the 12 for 30. Like there were more opponents than we could face in that game. And so Sean Taylor gets murdered. That's one where we used it. I was injured that year, so I wasn't on the field, but I was in the stadium. And you could feel just the energy that you're playing with is completely different. That human element of taking a hold of something in the community and then using it on the field because it's the fans, it's everything about the organization. And it just feels like there's that extra opponent. Now the Rams have that. Not only are they a good football team, but they have that sense of community. And they're going to be playing with that extra entity. I don't even want to say it's an extra, you know, player. It's just that extra entity that you have to defeat.
One of the things you brought up off air, smaller scale, different sport. Michigan basketball had that issue with the plane.
The plane, yeah.
And then they went on a run in the Big Ten tournament. And they didn't go on to win the national title, but it did spark some...
Felt like they went further and won more games than they would have maybe if they didn't have that.
So you channel a little bit of that plus a little bit of what they've been doing on the field. And I do think, and it may be prisoner of the moment, that the Rams feel more dangerous today. The Eagles were not impressive in their first playoff game. And the Rams dropped a bomb on Minnesota, who may just be frauds, but the Rams also beat the Bills. The Rams have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl. And I know nobody wants to hear me say nice things about Stafford.
And they're healthy.
But yeah, I was going to say, like, the coach and quarterback have won a Super Bowl together. They've been in postseason battles together. They've battled Detroit particularly very closely in the last year here, both a playoff game and the opener. Like, those were one-score games late. One was overtime. So, yeah, I know we've been talking up the Eagles all year, and I'm not necessarily taking them down a notch. I'm giving the Rams credit as a team that's surging right now.
It'll be an interesting game to see how the Rams and the Eagles square off, because that game will be at Philly. And we talked about how tough it is to go to Philly and all those different things. But and here's the other argument that I heard yesterday, because we were talking about Jaden Daniels and how young he is as a quarterback. And like a rookie quarterback, at some point, it's going to be a rookie quarterback. And I think it will cost Washington at times, and we want to put pressure on him, all those things. And then we turn around and we talk about the young defense, Jared Verse, and some of the other young players. To me, it's different when you're talking about a young quarterback versus rookie defensive lineman. And it's one, it's the responsibility of the quarterback. It's all that goes into and the weight on the shoulders of a quarterback, but it's also a different side of the ball. You can, if you do something wrong, you mess up a responsibility on defense, it may actually turn out to be a benefit. Playing against Junior Seau, it was always this wild card. And in talking to some of his teammates, like, hey, we have no idea what Junior Seau is going to do. He plays by no rules. He doesn't play within the confines of the defense, but he had such a talent and such a knack for the game that he would do something completely opposite of what they were supposed to do, and it would come out and it would be a hero.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happens. LeVar Arrington, same thing. When he was on our team, he would just do whatever the hell he wanted to do, and it would turn out nine times out of 10 to be a benefit for the defense.
Another guy like that, Troy Polamalu. I remember right. He would freelance a little bit, but yeah. He was so instinctive. And you go, why is he over? Oh, because the ball's going to be over there because right. He's a step ahead of everybody. Yeah, and I think the Rams, not that they have a LeVar Arrington or a Troy Polamalu, but no. They've got these young guys who are playing fast and loose, right. And they're getting into the backfield and creating some havoc. Some ticket text answering the question. This one says, Philly needs another gear or two. If not, the Rams are going to win 22-18. So they think the Rams are going to handle business and be in that NFC championship game awaiting
the Detroit Lions.
The storyline's already there. Texter says, let's not forget the Rams needed help to get into the playoffs. And after half, the Rams didn't even look all that dangerous. Well, the game was kind of in hand at that point.
But I do go back to what I talked about in regards to it's a hard team to figure out, the Rams, because when you look at just the end of their season, and I know that they ended with, a lot of wins. They ended up on a high note. But following that Bills game, which was an absolute shootout, there was no defense on either side. They really struggled to put points on the board. 12 at San Francisco, 19 at the Jets, 13 at home against Arizona.
But you know what they're capable of would be the point. If they flip the switch, they can go on the road and beat the Eagles. They can go on the road and they could even beat the Lions. I'm not going to pick it, but they're certainly more dangerous than I think people give them credit for.
They are dangerous. And they're dangerous because, like, the Bills show up and Josh Allen plays his best game of the year, right, in the biggest moment. And I'm not saying that, Matthew Stafford's going to put together a Josh Allen-type performance, but could Puka Nacua do that? Could Cooper Kupp do that? Could Tyler Higbee do that? They could show up and just be playing that style of game where everything just seems to work for him. But, and I say this in regards to there's a reason that this team was 10-7. And it's up to Aaron Glenn, Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson to bring out those faults. Well,
they closed the season 9-3, though. I mean, they went through that early season thing where they had all the injuries, both receivers were down. 9-3 last 12 games. I mean, they've given up under 10 points last four. You got to throw out the Seahawk game at the end of the year. They didn't play anybody in the game. So the last four games before that, they gave up under 10 points. So just how good their defense is, I question it because they did give up 42 to the Bills. And guess what? The last loss they had that mattered was 37-20 to the Eagles at home.
And to that point, all right, you mentioned they suffered injuries at the beginning of the year, and they started out 1-4. All right,
but the game they were healthy that they played against the Eagles, they lost 37-20. So, and then they gave up points to another offense, the Bills, a few weeks later. So, I think the question with them a little bit is just how good is their defense,
right?
Because that could be a little bit of an equalizer. Their defense is better than it was when they played Detroit before. But I also think the Lions were a little bit rusty from the preseason.
Absolutely.
Right, but my point is, instead of them going 1-4 and them resting on, we had injuries. Lions had injuries all year long, and they were 15-2. Like the injuries didn't affect the Lions. Injuries affected the Rams.
248-539-9797. All right, you watched them both. Who's the bigger concern in the NFC Championship game? It's 97-1. Got a lot still coming up today on the show. We got the two Grand Slam at 7:25. Dan Campbell at 8:02. Moran Chevrolet is officially Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer for 2024, which is huge. And they're celebrating with awesome deals all month long. So get off the sidelines and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet, where you can lease a 2025 Trax for $249 a month. That's 39 months, $999 down. It's Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Score your best deal, moranexpress.com. You can shop online, or you want to go out and test drive? They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. I want to acknowledge that some of this may be prisoner of the moment, but it's top of mind, right? The Rams look better than the Eagles. Are they the bigger threat in the NFC? 248-539-9797. John, I thought you made a great point. The Rams' offense at its peak is scarier for the Lions than the Eagles' defense at its peak. And we are worried about, in the scenario where the Lions would lose a playoff game, it would be that the defense gets shredded. Rams got a quarterback that came out against the blitz and was red hot. And they won the game easy against a 14-win Vikings team, just like Detroit, right? Their quarterback, their coach, they've won a Super Bowl. Like, yeah, maybe it is prisoner of the moment, but I wasn't impressed with Philly. And I do feel like the Rams have given Detroit some really good football games. Yeah, I think they're the bigger threat right now.
Well, and when you look at some of the injuries that the Eagles have had, Brandon Graham, he's out. He's not coming back. N'Kobe Dean, he was lost for the rest of the playoffs for that you know, Philly defense. And I feel like there's not a defense out there that is going to eliminate what the Lions do offensively. That is the Lions. Clearly, the Lions' superpower is their offense. And so if you have the superpower of an offense going against what the Rams have is their superpower, which is also offense, it would be fun. I think it would be a track meet. It'd be if you could just remove your fandom and remove the nervous energy of that matchup, I think it's going to be an epic game.
Yeah, if they meet in the NFC title, I mean, the stories are going to be, you got to go through your old franchise quarterback to get to your first Super Bowl. There's going to be a lot of energy. There's going to be a lot of juice in that building. We got our guy. We got Jared Goff. And today's the one-year anniversary of that chant and that playoff win. We'd be bringing it all back for the NFC title game. There'd be a lot of emotion. We brought up the emotion for LA, though. Like, they're harnessing this, what's going on in their community, and they're speaking on it. They're addressing it. They feel like they're playing not just for themselves. And we've seen kind of that effect in sports carry a team maybe a step or two further than the talent would suggest. So for all those reasons, I think we're both right now saying it's the Rams. Mm-hmm. It's the Rams that are more concerning. Tom, I know
I texted you last night. Yeah. I think the biggest thing maybe happening here is you just get scared of these things sometimes in sports. You've seen it where a team gets behind something, rallies behind it. It galvanizes them and carries them to a certain point. It'll carry them to another win or two. John pointed out, you know, you played with Sean Taylor and you guys, once you got your heads around it and stuff, you rallied around it. I think the biggest rallying cry in Detroit ever, arguably, is probably Mike Utley. You know, there clearly was a rallying around them, the Lions. Everybody thought, oh, it's, you know, we're going to fall apart here. And they definitely use that as a rallying. Remember Thumbs Up? It had its own saying.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see. Like, I think that could carry them potentially this week. And then I just think at some point that peters out. Because I think the difference is what I just referenced for both John and the Utley thing. And maybe even Konstantinov for the Wings repeat.
Yeah.
It's a little more personal when it's a teammate.
Yeah.
You know, and I would point
or the
to
owner of your I'm team, not trying you to be the Giants. Yeah, it, yeah.
Treading on light water here, but the Yankees used it in 2001 to a degree, but then the talent won in Game 7 for the Diamondback. You know, what I'm saying?
That's a great point, because when I talk about that last game at Three Rivers, we didn't have the talent to counter that. Right? Jeff George was our quarterback, and he got in the huddle. And it was like, hey, you know, he's going to call whatever the hell he wants versus what Terry Robiskie, who was the second coach that we had that year, wanted to call. And when we were playing, when it was Sean Taylor, like, we were playing against the Bears on Thursday night, they didn't have the talent to counter that extra opponent that you're playing against. We didn't have the talent against the Giants when Wellington Mara died. Like, that's the difference, where the Lions have the talent and the confidence to counter that extra sense of an opponent.
I want to clarify something, because Tom, you used the word scared. I'm not scared of the Rams. John's not scared of the Rams.
Oh, we're not either.
Yeah, I know you're not either, but the word was used just to clarify to people. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. We're just talking about the game that was played last night and what awaits Detroit if they beat the Commanders. And some of you are bothered that we're even bringing up this game because they haven't played the Commanders yet.
Right.
But we all think they're beating the Commanders, right? Anybody want to stick up? Go ahead, call in and say the Commanders are winning this week. Go ahead. I got open lines.
You
got
to play the game. I get it.
No, I know they do. But this idea that we can't consider the big picture with the Lions, they're the one seed. We can't talk about the path as it unfolds in front of them. And some people get very superstitious. If you think we're jinxing them, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we're going to talk about the games.
I do think, in terms of this question with the Rams or Eagles, it is a little prisoner of the moment. Going to Philly and winning a playoff game is a very hard thing to do in the NFL, and that's what the Rams have to do this coming weekend. They played head-to-head. The Eagles won by 17. I think the Eagles won with a B-minus game on Sunday, but they could win with a B-minus. Like, some people on Ticket Text are criticizing, well, the Rams' offense really didn't look good last night in the second half. Well, they didn't need to. Why take a chance? And I think the Eagles did the same thing on Sunday. You know, the game was in their hands. They did. Why open it up to, you know, potential turnovers and things like that in the second half when you're in control? I will point this out. Every single NFL playoff game that was played this past weekend, I believe the better quarterback won. I believe Stroud is better than Herbert. Herbert has some past that he has to get over, and it showed. And then I think the other one that was maybe up in the air was Daniels and Mayfield, and you can sit here and kind of, I think, talk back and forth with that.
Yeah, it's tough because Baker didn't necessarily play poorly at all, but, well, but Daniels had the ball
had
late and put it away.
I know. You know, so if you use that going forward, there certainly are some interesting debates ahead in terms of who's the better quarterback. If that holds, who is the better quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Stafford? Passing-wise, you know Stafford is. People dismiss Hurts' mobility.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably Stafford between the two.
Yeah.
And I know he hasn't had a great year, but, I mean, he's got the arm to make all the throws.
Sure.
He's been in all the big games. He's won a Super Bowl. I would give the edge to him.
Well, and here's some comments on Twitch. And if you want to watch us, if you want to join us, twitch.tv/971theticket. Are the Rams the bigger threat? Sure. Is anybody a real threat to us? No. If we play our game and don't beat ourselves, we should be playing in New Orleans. I mean, I think it's, you can't say it any better than that.
Preach.
And then a follow-up to that. They've got fires, and we've never been to a Super Bowl. I also think there is this sense in Detroit, and people have talked about this before, you know, this conversation about Rams, Eagles, and NFC Championship game. Detroit is America's team. Right
yes.
now. There are so many people, coast to coast, east to west, north to south, that are watching the Detroit Lions and cheering for the Detroit Lions, whether they were Lions fans previously or not. And there are a lot of individuals right now that are pulling for the Lions because, well, yeah, they've got the fires and they've got the emotion, all that stuff in LA. How about the catastrophe that has been this franchise?
Yep.
All of the moments, the SOLs, all of the different things that have either held the Lions back, prevented them from moving forward, most of them, if not all of them, self-inflicted, and now they're doing the things the right way, and it feels like they have been able to overcome the injuries. Like, this is the year of the Lion.
Sure feels that way to me. Yeah. All right, we got phone calls to get to, 248-539-9797. Two Grand Slam today at 725. Dan Campbell at 802. It's 97.1.